Now our study from the book of the Revelation today is a delightful section of this book. We're going to read in chapter 21 and seek to go on to verse 5 of chapter 22, dealing with the new habitation and the new administration. Now it has been well said that while we should not attempt to be wise beyond what is written, nevertheless we should endeavor most studiously to be wise up to that which is written. So therefore, let us read just now the first 8 verses of chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let us pause for a moment, and let us pray. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy word, and for the liberty we have to read thy word and to proclaim it. But oh, how we pray today for thy blessing to rest upon all who hear these words. We pray for those who have not yet closed in with the offer of salvation. Grant, O God, that even today may be the red letter day in their life's history, when they'll come to grips with eternal realities and trust the Lord Jesus. May thy blessing now rest upon everyone who's listening, as we ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Now, as we come to chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, as I have indicated, here we are introduced to the new habitation and the new administration. Verse 1 teaches us this, that there is the passing of the old creation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You know, that's where the Bible begins, isn't it? Away back in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, where we are introduced to God himself. And God, you remember, takes the first place. The Bible starts with these words, In the beginning, God. And God created the heaven and the earth. Now when we come to Revelation chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. There is then the passing of the old creation. There is the presentation of the new creation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. There is the perfection of the new creation. There was no more sea. Have you ever thought of what this world of ours would be like without the sea? The sea has a great purifying effect on all the polluting things in this world. However, when we come to the new creation as set forth in Revelation 21, there will be no need for the sea, because the new creation will be in absolute perfection, and then there the old creation has passed away. Now when you come to verses 2 through 7, we are introduced to the descent of the new city. So in verse 1, there is the design of the new creation. Verses 2 through 7, there's the descent of the new city. Look first of all at the purity of the city. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Is there anything more beautiful on the day of a wedding than to see the bride walk in all her spotless purity with her white veil and her white dress? Now, I am quite prepared to admit, of course, that such an idea has been abused in the days in which we live, and that maybe there's many a one who wears that white veil and that white dress who are doing so in hypocrisy. But the fact of the matter is, when you come to the Word of God, there's no hypocrisy here. This great city, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That new city, the New Jerusalem, shall be marked with absolute purity. We already read in this book of Revelation, and we discussed it in a previous study, how that the present Jerusalem is looked upon as Sodom and looked upon as Egypt because of the corruption that has come into the present Jerusalem. But here is a new Jerusalem, the new city of peace, and it shall be marked by absolute purity. There's the presence of God in the city, for God himself shall be with them, so says verse 3, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. There's the presence of God in the city. And wherever you have the presence of God, you'll have purity and righteousness. And then you have the people of God associated with the city. And he said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So that those who are in that new city, they shall be his people. They'll be under his rule and under his protection. There is the perfection of God in administration from the city. You know, a city always indicates administration. Things are administered from the city. But now, again, I want you to notice something else. There's the pledge of God regarding the city. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And verse 5 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Here is the pledge of God regarding the city. If God sits in all his perfection to administer the affairs of heaven from that city, then there is the pledge of God regarding the city. He said, I make. Now, in the beginning, back in the book of Genesis, it was God who created the heavens and the earth. He is able to do this, for he's the all-powerful God. Now here he's going to make all things new. Men have been trying for a long time to make things better in this world. But if you care to take the history of mankind and the various cities that men have built, they have all collapsed. In fact, some of the greatest cities this world has ever known today are in ruins. The great city of Babylon, of which Nebuchadnezzar said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? And that great city of Babylon fell to ruins. You remember also when they built the Tower of Babel and it was destroyed. Many of the great cities of the world have come to ruins. But God says, I make. He is the pledge of God regarding the city. There's the perpetuity of God who controls the city. He said, I am. Not only I make, but he said, I am Alpha and Omega. That is, he's the first and he is the last. He is the beginning and he is the end. And so therefore, here is the perpetuity of God who controls the city. Some cities have been all right if they had a proper leader. If you have men in leadership who know how to govern and who know how to administer, then that city may prosper. But upon the death of that person, that city may go to ruin. Many a country has been led by good leadership, and then a change takes place, and you find that good leaders pass away after serving the generation, and then perhaps the leadership falls into the hands of irresponsible people, and a whole nation can be brought down. You have seen that. I have seen that over and over again. But oh, when we think of this new city and the new heavens and the new earth, we also think not only of the perfection of God and the pledge of God, we think of the perpetuity of God. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. You see, he is the beginning and he is the end. He's the ever-existing one, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who ever shall be. And so therefore, when he is in control, all things will be to his glory and for the benefit of mankind. Then there is the promise of God to the citizens of the city. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now that is remarkable, because there will be no more sea, but there will be a river, and there is a fountain, and this fountain has the water of life, and you'll be able to drink of the water of life freely. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to the woman at the well, that is the Jacob's well, he said that he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now here he's saying in Revelation 21, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Here is the promise of God to the citizens of the city. Then verse 8 is a sad verse coming in the midst of this wonderful section, a section setting forth the great glories and all the benefits of the new heaven and the new earth with the new city. But right at verse 8, there's the preclusion from the city of every unrepentant sinner. That which defileth can never enter in. That city will be kept absolutely pure. And so verse 8 tells us of the things and of the people that shall be excluded from that city. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I want you to notice this. These very people and these very sins are the things that have polluted this earth. These are the things that upset the administration in this world. But would you kindly note that right here in verse 8, in the midst of all these abominable things, we have the expression, and unbelievers. My friend, don't you see that it was unbelief that kept the children of Israel from going in to possess the promised land for a whole generation? 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and it was a new generation that went in to possess the land. Because of unbelief, they perished in the wilderness. Don't you see that unbelief will keep a man or a woman out of God's new heaven and new earth? Do you realize, my friend, you do not require to commit any great sin to be excluded from God's presence. You do not require to be some great sinner, such as a murderer, or a whoremonger, or a sorcerer, or an idolater. All you require to be is an unbeliever, that's all. Unbelief is the greatest sin of this age, and it will preclude men from ever entering into this wonderful city of God. So, my friend, be sure now that you are not classified with these people who are mentioned in verse 8, or guilty of these things, but rather trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be cleansed from every sin, and be ready to take your place in God's heaven. And then, of course, from verses 9 to 21, we have the description of the city. Now, notice, there is the manifestation of the city. John saw it from the mountain. There is the illumination of the city. It's the glory of God. There is the precision of the city. We're told the dimensions of the city, setting forth the greatness of God. There are the foundations of the city, setting forth the grandeur of God. For in verse 9 we read, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. They carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain." See, John is looking now from the high mountain. "And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." There's the manifestation of the city. This is not something built on earth by man. This is a city built by God. God is its architect. God is its builder. And God brings it down. It's called the Holy Jerusalem, and is descending out of heaven from God. Take the illumination of the city, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Oh, the illumination of the city, no need for the light of the sun, no need for the light of the moon, for God is light, and the glory of God shall illumine that city. How often have you sung Samuel Rutherford's hymn, "The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." Then there is the precision of the city. "It had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." And then he begins to tell us of the foundations of the city. "For the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." And so therefore you have the dimensions of the city, and the foundations of the city, and these are setting forth the greatness and the grandeur of our God. But now let us hurry down the passage. In verse 21 it says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was of pure gold, as it were transparent." Now verse 22 then, we have the delightful fellowship. "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Remember, the temple in the Old Testament always spoke of the place of fellowship. Here is a delightful fellowship. It's the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. When you come to verse 23, there's a delightful environment. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." That will be a delightful environment. Verse 24 speaks of delightful worship. "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." You will remember reading at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, that while many of the people didn't know he was born, certainly there were wise men came from the east, and they brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We are come to worship him. Ah, but here when you come to Revelation 21, the very nations, the Gentile nations, oh, they'll bring their gifts and they'll bring their honor to him. They'll do worship to him. They'll worship him that sits upon the throne. A delightful worship. There's a delightful day in verse 25. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. You see, most of those cities that have gates, they close the gates at sundown, and they're not opened again till the rise of the sun the next day. But there'll be no night there, and so therefore the gates will not be closed. One long, delightful day. Verse 27 tells us of a delightful state. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now when you go into chapter 22, you find the source of life in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Here is the source of life. It's called the river of water of life. There in verse 2 of chapter 22, we have the sustainer of life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the health of the nations. There we have the sustainer of life. But in verse 3 we have the service of life. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Oh, what a delightful service to be able to be servants to the Lord himself, who shall sit upon the throne. I suppose people would consider it a great honor to be in service in the White House in the United States, or to be in service in Buckingham Palace in Britain. But oh, how these things pale into insignificance as compared with being allowed to serve the Lord God, the Lamb who shall sit upon the throne. Then in verse 4 we have the seal of life. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Back in a previous chapter, chapter 13, we found those who had a mark upon their foreheads, indicating they belonged to the beast and to the Antichrist. But now here in chapter 22, we have a group of people who have the seal of God. They belong to him. And so therefore his name shall be in their foreheads, the place of intelligence. And so therefore they give their intellectual service to the Lamb. Now again, in verse 5, we have the satisfaction of life. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. There is the satisfaction of life. Notice, my friend, then, not only in this passage do we have the description of the city, we have the delights of the city. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. O happy day, when we no more shall grieve thee whom our souls adore, when sorrows, conflicts, fears shall cease, and all our trials end in peace. O happy day of cloudless light, eternal day without a night, Lord, when shall we its dawning see, and spend it all in serving thee? Now you've been listening to the Bible Fellowship broadcast. I want to ask you, my friend, today, are you ready? Are you ready for that wonderful city, that wonderful place that God has prepared for his own? Are you one of his? If not, may I ask you, my friend, no matter where you are right now, if you're not ready to meet your God, and you're not ready for the great eternal state, why don't you close in with God's offer of mercy right now where you are, claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, and be ready for the great home gathering.